With the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty "Hi-yo, Silver!" The Lone Ranger. Before this exciting adventure, a word from our sponsor. General Mills, makers of Cheerios, the ready-to-eat oat cereal that gives you go power, and Wheaties, the breakfast of champions, present by special recording, The Lone Ranger.
Pull back, Bobby is a boy of nine. He can really hit that line. He's a star because he knows he's got gold power from Cheerios. Yes, he's got gold power.
There he goes.
He's stealing his Cheerios. Cheerios. Cheerios.
Yes, it's a fact. Cheerios does give you real gold power. You see, Cheerios is made from oats. And every delicious spoonful of Cheerios and milk is real muscle-building food. Each spoonful contains vitamins, minerals, and proteins your body needs. Yes, the good things in a Cheerios breakfast do good things for your body. Help you have healthy nerves, good red blood, strong bones and muscles. And Cheerios is so much fun to eat, with its distinctive O shape and its wonderful toasted oat flavor. So tomorrow morning and every morning, start the day right with a Cheerios breakfast. Then you'll hear people say,
"He's stealing his Cheerios."
With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse, Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. Are you Silver? Hooray!
Amanda Lynn was not the raw-boned, strong-skinned type of woman that came to mind when one spoke of a frontier wife and mother in the far west. To the contrary, Amanda was a short, rather plump woman with fair skin and delicate features, who men instinctively felt needed protection and care from the rougher things in life. Gruff 6-foot Hiram Lynn had that same feeling at first, but years of marriage had proved to him that appearances were deceiving. At 12 years of age, Lucy showed many of her mother's traits. She too had a fearlessness and inward strength that belied her delicate appearance. One morning, Hiram noticed at breakfast that Lucy was eating hastily. He spoke to her gruffly.
Now, see here, Lucy, take your time. No reason to gulp your vittles down like that.
But I have to hurry, Daddy. I'm going to ride over the roundup with Cactus. He said I could.
You're not going to do any such thing, Savvy. Those cattle get out of hand, it'll be downright dangerous. No, sir, you're staying right here,
buttoning in. Thanks, Hiram. The way you carry on, you think Cactus is going to take Lucy to watch a bunch of Indians on the warpath. You know Lucy's used to riding with a cattle on.
Sure, but it's different when
you have to admit that Cactus is mighty careful about Lucy when she's with him.
Of course I admit it, Amanda, but
then that means that you really have no objections to the child going with him this morning.
Oh, golly, Daddy. Oh, I knew you didn't mean it about telling me I couldn't go. Oh, I have to hurry or Cactus will leave without me. I know it'll be lots of fun.
Now, hold on, Lucy. When I said...
Now, sit down and finish your breakfast. Cactus will look after Lucy, so don't worry.
Half an hour later, Cactus, the ranch foreman, and Lucy moved along one side of a wide, fertile valley where the cattle were being gathered into a large herd by the ranch hands.
Hey,
now, look, Jerry, I have to get out there and keep them local waddies in hand.
No, I'm not afraid, Cactus. I'll wait for
you. No, not here, you won't. I want you to ride up this slope to that cottonwood grove yonder.
Uh-huh.
You can see the whole valley from up there, so you won't miss nigh a thing. I'll come up there for you later.
All right, Cactus. Get up there.
Lucy rode up the slope while Cactus went to join the roundup.
Reaching the grove on the top of the slope, Lucy stopped and dismounted.
Robbie!
Her horse moved back through the grove, nibbling at the undergrowth. Suddenly, she heard a snort and squeal.
Billy, what's the matter? Billy, come back! Come here, Billy!
But Billy, frightened by a reptile, galloped back through the grove without heeding her cries. Lucy, intent upon catching her horse, followed, first running as fast as she could, then as her wind gave out, continuing to walk in the direction he had gone. Finally, she came to a halt on the rim of a large gully. A small herd of cattle moved along the bottom of the gully, and Lucy sighed with relief as she saw a man wearing a sombrero riding in front of them. Just as he started to call out, she gasped with surprise as she looked at the horseman riding behind the cattle.
Three of them. They must be stealing some of our cattle. Well, I've got to go back and talk Captain.
As Lucy turned, her eyes widened, and she clasped her hand over her mouth to stifle the gasp of fright that welled in her throat. A painted and tattered Indian stood staring at her with a tomahawk raised suggestively.
Oh. Little squaw, not make noise. Go down pass into gully.
Amanda Lynn's firm training and the traits she had passed on to her little daughter were evident as Lucy, without a sound, walked in the direction the Indian pointed and started down a path into the gully with her savage captor close behind. As they went down the path, the Indian suddenly gave as a signal the wailing howl of a coyote. When they reached the bottom of the gully, the others had left the herd and were waiting.
Little squaw watch from rim of gully. It's not good.
What you do here alone, little girl?
My horse ran away, and I followed him. Golly, you're an Indian, too. And you're feeding my father's cattle. I just know you are.
You belong Lynn Spread?
Yes. My father owns it. Daddy and Texas will be awful mad when they find out you stole cattle.
You plenty brave, small squaw. Not good, you tell father. We take you Indian village. Talk with Big Chief.
Oh, no. No, I want to go home.
Me call Breeze. Me take you on horse. You come village. Ute, Lame.
That afternoon in the hills, the Lone Ranger and Tonto were busy in their temporary camp mending and polishing their riding gear. The Lone Ranger was saying,
"Been a lot of cattle rustling in this Southwest Territory, Tonto. So far, no one has been able to tail the thieves."
No.
Remember the report the Padre had from your friend, Chief Thundercloud?
Chief Thundercloud sent message that Chief Blackhawk break away from tribe. Him take small band brave right way 3 moon ago.
Wouldn't surprise me to find out that Blackhawk and his braves are responsible for all the rustling that's been going on.
Ah.
Over here's something. He's warning us.
Here, Hokey. And the puppy. Yeah.
He looks down toward trail.
Yes, I
hear him now. One horse.
That's right. Yeah, me see him. His horse without rider. He takes a stop. Go get him. He come up. Get him up. Come.
A few minutes later, Tonto returned, leading Lucy's riderless horse.
Oh, John. Oh, fine on that. Well, on an easy stop.
Did you catch sight of anyone on foot, Tonto?
No. I mean, look. Not see anyone.
The rider may have been hurt. We'll backtrack the horse's tail and try to find the owner. Here's a look. Bring the other horse along, Tonto. Let's go. Easy.
Easy, Tonto. One, two, three. On the count.
Lucy's horse had cut down the slope some distance from the gully to which he had wandered, so that when backtracking his trail, the Lone Ranger and Tonto didn't catch sight of the trail left by the rustled cattle. Meantime, Cactus and a few of the men who were ready to go back to the bunkhouse rode up the slope from the valley to meet Lucy. As they approached the grove, Cactus spoke uneasily.
That's funny. I don't see Lucy anywhere. We'll search around and see if we can find her. Or at least pick up her trail. She's up there.
As the small group rode up the slope toward the grove, the Lone Ranger and Tonto entered the cottonwood from the other side, leading Lucy's horse.
As they approached the spot from which the horse had bolted, Cactus and the others came over the rise a short distance away. The masked man and Indian were looking at the ground as they rode, so that in spite of a warning whinny from the great horse Silver, Cactus and the others had already seen them and rode toward them with drawn guns.
Look, you look at it. Better do as he says, though.
A couple of owl hoots. By thunder, they've got Lucy's horse. Where's the little girl, mister? If you don't speak up fast, I'll drill you right now.
We'll continue our Lone Ranger adventure in just a moment. How about your family? Do you all like different cereals for breakfast? Here's a suggestion.
Take a pack of Cheerios, take a pack of Trix, take a pack of Jet, take a pack of Kit, and Wheaties, too. The choice is up to you with the very part of Pick-A-Pack package.
It's Pick-A-Pack, the all-family cereal package with the easy opening top. And inside, individual servings of five wonderful cereals. Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions. Cheerios, the cereal shaped like little O's. New high-puff Kit, food for action. Sugar Jack, triple treat of sugar, oats, and wheat. And Trix, the fruit-flavored gay color cereal. Five delicious favorites, all in individual packs that feel in freshness. Easy to open, easy to dispose of. Next time,
take a pack of Cheerios, take a pack of Trix, take a pack of Jet, take a pack of Kit, and Wheaties, too. The choice is up to you with the very part of Pick a Pack package.
Now to continue. Placing the drawn guns in the hands of Cactus and the four men with him, the Lone Ranger realized that he and Tonto were in immediate danger. As he hesitated, Cactus repeated,
"I said speak up fast or get a bullet. Now, where's the girl?"
"We know nothing about the girl you mentioned."
"He's lying, Cactus. Make him tell the truth. Better yet, we'll drill the both of them. Then we'll backtrack on till we find Lucy."
The Lone Ranger signaled Silver with a slight movement of his heels. The intelligent horse suddenly sprang forward, shoving right into the group with two spares, rearing and kicking at the other horses, and sending them into a frenzied turmoil. For a moment, Cactus and the others fought to control their frightened horses as they bucked and whirled to escape the nipping teeth and sharp, raking hoofs of the great white stallion. When the men again turned their attention to the masked man and Indian, they found themselves staring at a double brace of guns.
"Drop your guns, all of you."
"Not me, Esther."
"No, you won't."
"No, my hand."
"Now drop those guns, Tonto."
"Oh, gone. He's too fast for his boys. Better drop him."
"You won't listen to explanations about my mask. But I repeat, we're not outlaws. We know nothing about the girl who rode that horse over there. Let's get going, Tonto. Run through there.
Now, come on, get your gun quick. Then we'll trail those two, and the next time we'll shoot on sight. Come on, hurry up."
Cactus and three of the men started trailing the Lone Ranger and Tonto, while the cowboy, whose hand had been nicked by the masked man's bullet, went to the ranch house. Hiram Lynn had just dismounted at the corral when the cowboy rode in and told him what had happened.
"By thunder, I knew something would happen. I knew it. Now you go in the house and get your hand fixed. I'll round up the rest of the men and follow after Cactus and the others."
"Right.
I'll find that masked hombre and make him tell what he knows about Lucy if I have to flay him alive to do it."
"Him and that Indian with him are clever and quick."
"Well, they won't be when we get done with him. All right, rest you men, follow me. Come on, get it."
A few minutes later, the cowboy related the story to Mrs. Lynn as she bandaged his hand. Amanda, in her calm and determined way, left the ranch house and rode to the grove where Lucy had been last seen, deciding to try to trail her little girl. The Lone Ranger and Tonto, having used clever means to cover their trail, headed back to the grove when they were sure they had lost their pursuers. They came upon Amanda suddenly, but to their surprise, she showed no fear as they pulled to a stop before her.
"We've come to help. Please don't be afraid of us."
"I'm not afraid. And if you come to help, I'll be grateful, masked man."
"We're not outlaws, as the men from the Lynn Ranch seem to think."
"I'm Amanda, Hiram Lynn's wife. I've been thinking about the men meeting us here."
"Yes?
Well, it struck me that you wouldn't come back here bringing Lucy's horse if you'd been the cause of her disappearance. Men just don't stop to think sometimes.
I admire your courage and your reasoning, Mrs. Lynn. Believe me, we'd like nothing better than to find your daughter for you. That's why we've come back again.
I believe you. But there's danger. Hiram and Cactus and the others are following the trail.
I hope we've covered our trail.
I see. Well, I found some of Lucy's footmarks.
Good. Tuttle and I'll follow them until...
I'm going with you. Shall we get started now?
Why, of course. Come on.
Come on, now.
Once they'd picked up the trail, it was a simple matter for the Lone Ranger and Tonto to follow it. When they reached the gully, Tonto pointed out where Lucy had been put on a horse. Tonto walked away a short distance, then returned to report.
What did you find, Tonto?
A small herd of cattle go through gully. Them driven by Indians. You see marked Indian ponies.
What do you suppose they'll do?
Keep up your courage, Mrs. Lynn. I'm sure we'll find Lucy unharmed. Will you be willing now to go back?
Because you're afraid of what we might really find, is that it?
Oh, no. You can help by going back and finding your husband and the men. Have them follow the trail left of the herd. We'll go ahead and find the hidden village.
All right, I'll go.
Good. Tell them to hurry. We'll need their help. And don't worry, Mrs. Lynn. Try to find the men quickly. Adios.
Goodbye. Get up there.
That frail-looking woman has more courage than most men, Toto. Let's hurry. There's no time to lose. Lucy isn't as safe as I tried to make her mother believe. Easy, steady, big fella.
Easy, Scott. Easy, fella.
Black Hawk and his band, consisting of 10 braves, had put up wigwams in a secluded hollow far back in the hills. The wigwams were in a large circle, and in one of them, Lucy lay with her hands and feet tied. The little girl had tried to be brave, but as dusk began to fall, she finally gave way to stifled sobbing.
I won't be afraid. I won't.
Tonto knew the tricks of Indians. He and the Lone Ranger had been able to follow the cattle in spite of Breed's efforts to throw off pursuit. They finally located the village and stopped in the shadows.
Goodbye, Tonto.
As the two men stood looking over the village, Tonto pointed out that because it was a marauding band of Indians, there were no dogs with them, thus safeguarding their approach against detection. They noted that about 8 braves were gathered near a campfire in some sort of powwow, while a single brave at each end of the hollow acted as guard. The Lone Ranger counted 10 in all. Finally, he outlined a plan.
Otto, there are 6 wigwams in that circle. No one seems to be guarding them. I'll go to 3 and take the other 3. The shadows are just deep enough to help us. Creep up behind each wigwam. Make a small hole with your knife you can look in. But be careful. You see the girl? Lift the back of the wigwam and bring her out. Follow me.
In the wigwam, Lucy shivered as the leering face of Breed looked in.
She's plenty angry with Small Squaw.
Please, ask him to let me go. Please.
Him say it not good let you go. Him say maybe make trade with the posse. Get good horse for Squaw slave.
Oh, no. No. I want to go home.
You not go home. Chief Blackhawk spoken. Tears not help. Me go now.
Please, Scott. I'm trying to be brave. Don't let them take me away. Please, don't let them.
Lucy, I've come to help you.
Who are you?
Listen, be quiet. The lever is split. I made in the back of the wigwam. Cut your cord. There.
Scott.
Never mind that. I'll take you back home. Take my hand and leave it. You're not going to look out, Scott.
James Blackhawk. Wade,
capture
Potawatomi.
Him
sink
behind the
wigwam.
Tonto, they've caught him. They've caught my friend and seem to help. Now, Lucy, listen closely. Go through the strip back there. Run straight back to the woods. There's a big cottonwood tree there. Get behind it and wait. And don't be afraid.
I won't.
The Lone Ranger waited inside the wigwam. As he peered through the front opening, he grabbed his guns, ready for instant action. He saw Tonto surrounded by Black Hawk's braves. Black Hawk was speaking.
Follow one of these braves. Come to Swayon Village.
Infantry Thundercloud! Go trail
O'Mara! The Lone Ranger saw the group move back as two braves sprang forward, each grasping one of Tonto's arms, holding them straight out in a vice-like grip. They turned Tonto so that his profile was visible from the wigwam. Then the chief drew a knife and held it high as he stood in front of the masked man's friend.
Two great spirits! I send this brave as offering!
The Lone Ranger knew the time had come to act. The chief stood facing Tonto with his side toward the masked man. The Lone Ranger realized he and Tonto were two against the chief and 10 braves. But as the knife darted downward, the Lone Ranger fired. And the masked figure, ready to die fighting to save his friend, sprang forward, both guns blazing. But at that moment, a welcome sound came to the ears of the masked man and his Indian friend. Hiram Lynn, leading 20 or more men, galloped into the village with guns in action. Within a short time, the fight was over, and Black Hawk and his 10 braves were thoroughly cowed.
By thunder, I could see you heading right into that yelping band of savages as we rode into the village. You sure got a lot of courage, mister.
Thanks. You couldn't have held out long.
Here, easy now. Down you go. Here she is, right where you said, mister.
But the masked man saved me. If he was going to make me be a slave with the Apache.
Heaven forbid. Here comes Amanda. She was waiting on the edge of the wood.
Mama.
Yes, she takes after her ma. Amanda told us about you and the Indian Tonto, mister. Sorry for causing you trouble. And thanks for finding Luke through the cattle.
Well, that's all right. Frankly, you're lucky to have a woman like Mrs. Lynn as your wife. Women like her have given men the courage and fortitude to come west and stay here. We'll go now. Guard these Indians. We'll notify the troopers to come after them. All right, let's go, Tonto.
Adios.
Adios. Darling, I like him.
I know, Tonto. I admire him greatly. You have great courage and understanding. Well, in spite of the mask, I knew instinctively he could be trusted.
I reckon women are a lot smarter than men when it comes to judging folks. I wonder who he is.
I asked the Indian Tonto, and when he told me, I knew that was the one man who could bring our Lucy back to. He's the Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger, a copyrighted feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated, is produced by Pendle Campbell Muir Incorporated. The part of the Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer. Your announcer, Fred Foy. Listen to The Lone Ranger, brought to you by special recording Mondays through Fridays at this same time.